So Commissioner, I was in one of these, I was actually drinking out of a red solo cup, solo serve cup. And it was just water, but Jameson said, no, Timmer, you can't drink out of that because I guess...
It looks like a party cup or something.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone thought it was a party cup. Right. And I was like, well, I didn't... I mean, I guess I knew that, but... Like,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
anyways,
nothing wrong with that. Like, it's a podcast. Yeah. I can... Nobody has to know what I'm drinking
right.
in that cup.
Right. And nobody knows what you're drinking in another cup either, but...
well, that's true. Now what I do is I just put it in a cup with a lid so that my team can't actually see what I'm drinking.
Smart.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I serve as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. So happy to be here. In this podcast, we have on-the-record conversations with leaders shaping our community and our state. And today, I am delighted to be joined today by the Texas Workforce Commissioner representing labor, Albert Trevino. Thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to this conversation today. I have a hunch that we're going to talk about some pretty important things. I'd love to know more about the 33 years you spent in law enforcement and how that relates to your role now. I'd love to learn the way you talk about and think about confidence and its correlation to courtesy. And I'm also really curious, and I think our viewers are curious about what are some of the major challenges facing workers today. So I hope that you can share and expound on that with us. Are you game to jump right in?
Sure.
Let's do it. All right, Commissioner, it is such an honor to have you here. And I've got some questions, and I want to be really respectful of your role. You have a really important role in the state. So let me know if I cross any lines. I wouldn't want to inadvertently insult you in any way.
No, don't worry. You can poke fun at me. I'm used to getting made fun of. One of the nicknames that my high school friends gave me that stuck was Charlie Brown.
Your nickname was Charlie Brown.
They nicknamed me Charlie Brown.
And why is that?
He never won. He was always close, never got to kick the football.
Aww.
Like, I was always get close and something would happen. And to them, it was a big joke. Like, oh my gosh, look, he almost got it or he almost did this. So they always give me a Charlie Brown card or something every year. So, they got me a big Pez dispenser that was Charlie Brown.
Oh.
So I've been made fun of my whole life. So I'm used to it and I can take it. So
you can take it.
I can dish it out too.
I've never seen you dish it out. You're just always so calm and so polite.
I'm more sarcastic dish out, but I'm usually gone when was he trying to make fun of me? Did he just make fun of me there?
It catches up with you afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so team memo to self. We need to lean into Charlie Brown and it sounds like solo serve
Solos
cups
okay.
and like whatever we put in there all around to like get the energy going with
that's
podcast.
That's a personal choice, yes.
All right. So sorry that we didn't deliver a solo cup
serve cup
for you this time.
That's okay.
So I got a question for you. I ask everyone this question to start off with because, we're the workforce board. We focus on jobs and work, but I'm curious, tell us a little about your first job.
Well, my first job, I was trying to think about, and it was working with my grandfather in the summers. He was a sewing machine repairman in Enbrick, Texas. And I would go help him in the summer because the sewing machines were pretty heavy. And I would help pick him up from the cars, bring him into the shop, put him on his workbench. But I got to see how he interacted with his customers and the community in general would stop by and chit chat with them. And I was just a fly on the wall, so to speak. But it showed me how important it is that whatever job you have, you can contribute to your community and support your family. So I was thinking, I mean, I've had other jobs that, you know, making burritos for Bingo in Harlingen.
You made burritos for?
Burritos and nachos for the...
At a bingo hall?
At a bingo hall.
All right.
But my first job was with my grandfather. So the pay was, you know, lunch and dinner, of course. But it did show me a lot. It was just a great experience on how you evolve through your life and the right job will usually find you.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So I know you eventually found your way into law enforcement. So you went from making burritos to law enforcement, you know, and fixing sewing machines. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Commissioner, in your role, you have to travel a lot around the state of Texas, right? Yes. I imagine you're putting a lot of miles on your car. But I, you did something really interesting last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago. You tell me, it was last year, right? You and your team decided if you couldn't physically be everywhere, you would find a way to have your presence be everywhere. So I brought a little show and tell here. I've brought the Flat Cat. Can you please explain what this is, Flat Cat, and why did you come up with it?
Okay. Well, first of all,
do you want to hold it? By the way, do you want to hold
it? Yes, I can. one of my staff members was a former teacher, Elena. So she remembered Flat Stanley.
Okay.
So when I first started, it was almost been 2 years. I wanted to meet all 28 workforce boards before the state conference so that I would know them when I would see them, because everybody would get together there. And they came up with the idea of the Flat Cat.
Yeah.
Now, Cat, when I would first start, I would go into the office and I would hear, oh, Cat's in the office, or go ask Cat. And I was like, who are they calling? What's Cat?
And, who's this Cat they're talking
who's
about?
Who's this Cat, right? And then I thought, well, maybe they're just, because in law enforcement, they always assign nicknames. And usually they're not because you did something bad. But I was like, hey, they're calling me Cat. That's kind of weird. So
maybe
then I asked.
You're a cool cat.
A cool cat.
Or, yeah, right.
So I asked, are y'all calling me Cat? And they're like, well, those are your initials, Commissioner Albert Trevino.
Okay.
So it was, it made sense. So when they said, well, you can't be everywhere at once, we're going to work. And they got me to all 28 workforce boards before the state conference. But they said, we'll send out this Flat Cat and have the boards, you know, go to different meetings or different events. And that way you can be there and they introduce you. It was actually a great, great idea. That's how that started. And the boards did great. They took off with it.
So I was going to ask you, so I know that there's like, so we have, I have a small Flat Cat here,
yes.
But I know that there's like a life size cut out of you. And last year at the conference, that life size Flat Cat made its way around the conference. What were, and you showed kind of a photo montage
right.
of that. Where's the most interesting place you think Flat Cat got to go that you personally didn't get to go?
At the conference, he was all over the place. and some interesting places, maybe. I don't want to know where he was, but
we can neither confirm nor deny where he was.
but it was great fun, and everybody got to take pictures with the big life-size Flat Cat.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the staff on the after hours would take it on elevator rides, and
I did. I tried to get on an elevator one time, and I couldn't. It was so full
because
there was the Flat Cat and all of your groupies around
right,
the Flat Cat.
Right.
Couldn't get on the elevator.
Right.
You've got a creative team for
yes.
sure. I can take that back from you, unless of course
okay.
you like having a double, a stunt
yeah,
double.
No, okay, no,
all right.
Okay.
We'll put this aside for
Thank
now.
You.
Let me ask you a first question. Then start to get into this a little bit. You've had a very impressive career that spans over three decades in law enforcement. I think I read over 33 years
yes.
in law enforcement. What inspired you to pursue that path, going from sewing machine repair person to law enforcement? And how have those experiences influenced your current role at the Texas Workforce Commission?
Well, thank you for that question, Tamara. When I got interested in law enforcement was in high school. It was my junior year. And three of my friends, we all played football together and grew up basically together. But we joined an explorer post that followed the local police department. And all three of us then knew we were going to get in law enforcement.
Oh, really?
From that first meeting. And We graduated high school, went to Texas Southmost College, got an associate's degree in criminal justice, and we all got hired with the Hardinge Police Department, which is my hometown police department. They retired from that police department. I did about 8 years, and then I went into the U.S. Border Patrol.
Okay.
And I did 26 years there. So I got to learn the hard way from, you know, going to Catholic school, elementary school, being kind of sheltered, to getting into the world of law enforcement and seeing how the different aspect of different communities in your own city are. And it really is a rewarding career, but it's not for everybody. But you do get to see a lot of good and bad that happens in your own community.
Yeah. Well, you're the commissioner representing labor, and you talked about seeing different parts of your community. How has that experience in law enforcement shaped the kind of commissioner that you are at the Texas Workforce Commission?
Well, I think it helped me because one of my sergeants had told me, if you're confident, you can afford to be courteous. And working,
I like that.
Working,
if you're confident, you can afford to be courteous.
You can afford to be courteous.
Nice.
And seeing the way my dad and my grandfather were, they were always real calm. They never really got excited about anything. And I think that helped me a lot. And I don't know if that was just passed on through me from them, but usually you just kind of take a breath and you can slow time down a little bit and everything usually works out. So I think that has helped me a lot, not just in my law enforcement career, but here in the Texas Workforce Commission. This is something totally new for me, totally different. But, you know, just sitting, listening, not getting excited, and then remember that there's always people that can help you, that know more than you, and all you have to do is just listen and take their advice.
Oh, wow. I really appreciate that. And I was going to say, in my year getting to work with you, I have always thought of you as someone who's very calm and thoughtful. You seem to think before you speak, which is not common always these days. And so I've always appreciated that about you. Thank you for sharing that history. I'm seeing a lot of deep roots to your family coming through in your story. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your role as a commissioner representing labor. Also means kind of representing unions too in this state. And we don't always think of unions or labor in the state of Texas, but I know that you represent all people,
Right.
And you also have a history of being a member of a union. In particular, you have served in leadership positions in the National Border Patrol Council. So I'm curious if you can share with us a little bit about what lessons did you learn through that experience and how have you pulled those lessons through to your current role?
Well, when I was joined the Border Patrol, I started back in the mid-90s and about 2000, we had a big hiring spurt.
Okay.
So it was a big growth. And as you know, anytime an organization grows rapidly, problems arise.
Okay.
So I saw a lot of things with scheduling, equipment, personal things that would affect agents that wasn't right. And the only one doing anything about it was the National Border Patrol Council, which is a union that represents the agents. And I would help the agents before that. And one of the union representatives say, you do such a great job because you can talk to the supervisors and the agents and kind of help them meet halfway and get the problem resolved. Why don't you join? So I just said, sure, why not? I've always liked to help people. So that's how that got started. And as you're doing a job, and people see that, you know, you're doing okay at it, they keep adding more. So that's how my progression commenced. So I started getting into leadership positions, and I did almost 21 years with Local 3307 and then the National Border Patrol Council, which is on the national level. And when I was on the national council, they asked me to head the legislative team.
Okay.
So we would go, you know, I would go to DC and talk to Congress and Senate and tell them what the agents needed as far as equipment, pay, you know, different rights. So it was rewarding and you get to see a different aspect of it. But the main thing was helping the agency and the agents work together so that the mission could be accomplished.
So it always came back to the workers for you, always came back to the agents for the people doing the work.
Right.
And it seems like that's a common thread in your role now.
Right.
I'm curious, though, you were telling me off camera, I wonder if you'll repeat it, like you have a kind of a funny story about how you got to be in a leadership position in this council. You want to share that story? What did you do to earn the privilege of being elected to a leadership position?
Okay. Well, I was asked, first of all, but the story you're talking about is I was a vice president with the National, and we were in Washington, D.C. at one of our conferences. And they had asked me to help with logistics on travel to get some people into. So I had to step out of the room when they were doing nominations.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So when I walked in, back in, they were like, oh, you just been nominated for, you know, treasurer. You accept. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a, you're going to do this now type deal. But I did it for the 3 years before I accepted this position and turned it over to somebody that's, I think, a lot more qualified than I was to do that at that time. But
I'm sure that's not true, but I think it's a good lesson. Be careful what rooms you step out of
where
they're making decisions.
That's right.
You might come back
that's
and be elected to some position you didn't want. That's fine. Well, I'm sure they were lucky to have you. And
I
heard you say in your story, which is really interesting to me, is it seems like you kind of served an intermediary role previously between the agents and, you know, supervisors. And it kind of strikes me, I wonder, to the extent, in a way, that's what you're doing now. You're representing labor across the state and you're serving as an intermediary, a voice for the workers. So I love that pull through, all these threads in your life that pull through and have made you the wonderful commissioner you are today.
Thank you.
Speaking of who you are today, you have a really impressive history of giving back in your community and having community engagement. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. I read that you are a member of the Knights of Columbus. Is that correct? And then you also were a coach of a little league team. You know, talk a little bit about what prompted you through your life, through your career, to give back in the community in that way. And do you have any stories about your community engagement?
I've always been willing to help. And I usually don't say no, which is maybe a big mistake.
I got to remember that. I got to remember that I can ask you for things. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And, It's funny because, you know, I was part of a tennis advisory board for the city of Harlingen.
Do you play tennis?
And I really don't play tennis. I played, but not anything.
So you didn't play tennis, but you're on the tennis advisory.
I was a tennis advisory board.
Okay. Is that another room you stepped out of accidentally?
Yes, I was just asked, hey, can you be on this board?
That's funny.
But yeah, so the Knights of Columbus, it was an organization that, as being a Catholic, I would always see. And I love the fact that one of their aspects was if you were in law enforcement and were killed in the line of duty, the organization would pay for your children to go to college.
Mm.
And I always thought that was impressive. So, and it's just a great organization that helps the community and the church. So that was a no-brainer. Little League, well, my son was playing baseball and he was a good baseball player since T-ball. And his uncles were baseball players. So they knew baseball. Me, not so much.
Okay.
I read the rules and you can kind of figure it out. But what I was I was the one that just wanted them to have fun.
Uh-huh.
So as we started getting older and my son got older and was playing in high school, they would play these travel teams and select teams, as they call it. But I would just let them, they wanted to play outfield today. We'll go play outfield.
Oh, really?
Or you want to play third base? Go play third base.
So you weren't playing the whole money ball thing?
Yeah, like, it was just...
You weren't pouring over spreadsheets to see what kid you put in what... Okay, all right.
And they were having fun and they got to see like, okay, I didn't like that position or I'm not good at that position.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson in life, how to get along and how to win, how to lose. But I was different from some of the other coaches that they just wanted to win at all costs. Mm-hmm. And they weren't teaching the game. The main thing was fundamentals, like everything. You know, if you can learn the game, if you can learn your job, you're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And you have to try those positions and overcome the fear of, you know, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
And that actually, I think, helped me with where I'm at today.
Okay. Say more about that. What do you mean it helped you with where you are today?
Well, to accept, okay, you're going to be afraid of things.
Mm.
You might be uncomfortable with, like me, public speaking. I never really did public speaking mm-hmm. in a big aspect, but I didn't let that stop me from, you know, talking to different people
sure.
or talking to groups of people. And that's like one example. So different jobs that they asked me to do that I had never done before,
mm-hmm.
I would try it. And you would realize, like the baseball players, okay, I tried second base.
Yeah.
I'm not good at second base.
I don't want to do that
right,
again.
I don't want to do that. And mm-hmm. you kind of know, okay, you find your niche and you move on from there. And then you can realize it builds that confidence that we were talking about earlier, that if you have the confidence mm-hmm. to try something and do it, and you're good, then you can be courteous in life too, because oh. you know you have that ability to overcome your fear.
Oh, I love that. So Commissioner, as I reflect and you reflect on your diverse career, is there an anecdote or a story that really stands out to you that exemplifies who you are and how you seek to lead the office that you're in as Commissioner representing labor?
Right. Well, it was going back to being confident again, and I was remembering one time when I was assigned to the airport in airport duty. It was right around pre-TSA
okay.
after 9/11, where we had to check everybody boarding the flight and ask for their ID and where they were from. And usually people would get a little upset or whatever. So I took it upon myself just to learn a few phrases in about 7 different languages: Mandarin, Portuguese, French. So when I would see somebody with a different passport, and I could see, oh, they had a French passport, I would ask them in French, may I please see your passport?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then thank you. And just a few, they would start speaking to me in French. I didn't know what everything else they were saying. I just knew how to say, can I see your passport and thank you. But it also let everybody else realize, like, oh, this guy is professional. He knows mm-hmm. what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't offended when I asked a U.S. citizen, hey, can I see your identification?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, sure, because I asked everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So just things like that, that would help the other agents too, like to kind of follow in that footstep and not be aggressive or bully, because they're traveling. They're either going for business, so they may not be happy, or they're going on vacation, so they're happy. And you
yeah.
don't want to ruin that, you know, at the first chance and
yeah,
get
yeah.
them, you know, oh, you know, this guy had to ask me, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see your ID, you know.
You know, some people try to learn another language so they can cuss in another language.
Right.
You learn another language so you could be courteous.
So I could be courteous.
I think that says a lot about your character, actually.
Yeah, so.
I love that.
Yeah.
I guess one last question for you, and it is, as the commissioner representing labor, I mean, you are in a position to really assess how it's going for workers in the state of Texas. What would you say are some of the most challenging issues you're hearing from workers in the state? And then how is the commission seeking to address these issues?
Well, I think now the state of Texas is probably the best due to a lot of the work that you are doing and the other 28 workforce boards, because we're at 15 plus million workers here in Texas.
Wow.
So I think the main challenge is getting people to get the job that they want and they need. And Texas Workforce Commission, the workforce boards, they're working not just with the community, but with the economic development corporations,
mm-hmm.
the educational institutions, to get these potential workers the jobs that are available out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there's always new jobs coming on.
Yeah.
That they're going to have to get trained for those. And some of them that the training hasn't even been, the curriculum hasn't been developed yet.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that. But that's probably the biggest challenge that I see for the labor force, is getting the training and the upskilling needed for them to continue in their job and keep promoting and getting better pay and doing their job safely.
So what I hear you saying is one of the challenges is workers keeping pace with the skills that are in demand by employers. So I agree with you, and you are right. As a workforce board leader, and on behalf of all my workforce boards, we definitely work in that way. I'm wondering, is there a signature initiative at the commission that you're proud of or that you'd like to see that you think could help address some of those skills challenges for workers?
I think they're doing a great job with what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're so open to new ideas and being fluid to address the time. Mm-hmm. I think this week is the National Apprenticeship Week.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's a great program on training potential workers in good paying jobs. So it's just a variety of different programs and different opportunities that are out there.
Different pathways for people to take.
To take.
Yeah.
And where are they learning about those pathways? It's like right here in a workforce center where they can come and learn and see different opportunities that they have. And my grandpa had always told me, if you're on the wrong train, get off and get on the right train. Mm. And he goes, but don't stay at the station. And I never really understood what he meant.
I like that.
And so if you're in the wrong path, you have to get on the right path. But when you get off, don't just stay there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the workforce boards is they help people find the right path and get the job that they want that, you know, can support themselves and their families.
Well, I certainly appreciate the plug. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We do work hard on the front lines. Yes. So Commissioner, in closing, is there anything that you want to share with the vast viewership we have with this podcast that I didn't ask you about?
I think just the only thing I would share is that what Texas Workforce Commission does and all the workforce boards do is amazing.
Thank you.
And something that I've been learning, and every day I'm inspired that I had no idea. I think the executive director, Mr. Serna, had said sometimes it's the best kept secret and they're trying to not keep it.
Yeah, we don't want to be a secret.
We don't want to be a secret. But I understood what he meant because I really didn't know what the aspect of everything that you all touch to help people get a job, keep a job, and have their families safe. So I applaud everybody that does this job. So I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. And most of all, thank you for your service to the state of Texas. It's really delightful as a workforce board leader among the other workforce boards to be able to call you our commissioner representing labor. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.